Let the church all say amen. Amen. You haven't been good enough that you don't need to say amen. So let everybody say amen. Amen. God has been good to us once again. He has blessed us. You know, you didn't have to get up this morning, even though you think you were automatically were to get up when you laid down last night. God got you up. And we ought to be thankful for that. And you know, this journey in what we call life, it's moving on fast around us. And so far it has went around us, I should say. But right now, we ought to be just eternally grateful for everything God has done for us. And if you get to a certain point in life, you realize that there are many more days behind you than there are in front of you. And you want to take and thank God for each and every one of the days that He has in your future. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from John 3:16 and Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. And we'll revisit those in a moment. But for now, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, blessed is Thy name and blessed are Your ways. Thank You, Lord. Just thank You, Lord. We owe You so many thank yous. We could spend the rest of our lives just uttering that phrase, thank You. But nevertheless, Father, as we move on into our lifetimes, we want to say just we are blessed. We are blessed to be here and we are blessed that we were called back to life this morning from our sleep. We thank You for the roofs that were over our heads. We thank You for the food that went into our stomach. And we thank You for the clothing that went on our bodies so that we may come out to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We almost always never want to forget that it's because of Your Son that we are able to be here today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are in the audience this morning. And we pray for many that hopefully that may be on their way that haven't arrived yet, but we pray for their safe passage. We thank You this morning, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of the congregation and their families, and we just thank You, Father, that You might continue to bless them. We thank You for those who have taken part in the services thus far, and we especially want to thank You, Father, for Brother Paul, who is making a miracle recovery, O Heavenly Father, but it's all due to You. Thank You, O Lord. Father, we thank You for each and every member as well as their families this morning. Thank You that You allowed them once again to be here. O Heavenly Father, we thank You for this world in which we live. It's not a perfect world, but with You, Father, all things can be right. Thank You, Father, that Your blessings have extended to us. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the shoes that I have on my feet, and the raiment on my body, and for each and every member in here today, let us say thank You for all You've given unto them as well. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut in and ask You that if it be Your will, that You would give them a speedy recovery that they may be able to be back with us once again. Father, we thank You for our young folk, and Father, our young folk need help right now, O Lord. They need help and coming to You and dropping the streets and coming unto You, O Heavenly Father. Father, we thank You for the parents that are raising these children and we pray for them for their strength and their well-being. We thank You for those who are guarding our lives this morning, O Heavenly Father. We thank You that they may continue to be blessed to have the strength and wisdom and the courage to do so. We pray for the leaders of this world that they may come together at the peace table and talk about things rather than react on things before it's everlastingly too late. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all You do for us, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus. We continue to pray and ask for all of these blessings and more. Let us all say, Amen. This morning, once again, from John, the third chapter, in the verses number 16, the Bible says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Bible says, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This morning, I'm glad to report that we have finally made it to what we like to call Father's Day. We know this day belongs to the Lord, like I said, on Mother's Day, but I got to give fathers their equal dues and say Happy Father's Day to you, fathers. And if you're not a father, if you're considering becoming a father, or in the future you might become a father, then I also extend it to you in the future of Happy Father's Day as well. So this morning, let us talk for a few minutes from lessons learned from our Heavenly Father. Lessons learned from our Heavenly Father. Every year as we approach these days of parenting days, as I like to call them, our thoughts turn first to the mothers and then to the fathers. These are times in which we honor our individual parents. But let us not forget about our Heavenly Father, the Father of our parents' parents, and as well as their parents' parents' parents. Let us remember He is all of our Father. So as we consider all that our Heavenly Father has done for us, let us also remember each and every blessing He has bestowed upon us as well, as giving us the opportunities to come to Him. If every earthly father could follow His lead, think of what a beautiful world this would be. Just if every heavenly father could follow the ways of the Lord. So let us first talk about a father's love. When fathers look upon their children, they are entitled to have the hope of seeing goodness in their children. No father likes to have bad, unruly, or even out of control kids. Yet when our Heavenly Father looked and saw us, He saw just that in Psalms chapter 53 in the verses number 2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of the world to see if there were any that did not understand, that did not seek God. God, like any caring father should do, is that of checking on His children from time to time. What He found might have a chilling effect on any father. So just what did He see according to verse number 3 of Psalms 53 and verse number 3? Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. As He looked from heaven, our Father was looking at His children at their worst. Some have said there is no God. What's a father to do when his children have turned away from his instructions? Just how is a father supposed to react? You might say that our Father had every reason to be angry at us, or perhaps even a stronger term might be that He had every reason to hate us. Yet instead, He loved us. When our children act as they have no home training, and I know some do not, what is a father to do? The number one thing a father should do is seek the counsel of the Lord. For He has already dealt with rebellious children before. Children who have turned away from their upbringing. Fathers today have many enemies. Therefore, as a parent, we must take a stand. And God did it in both the Old and in the New Testament. Take notice in Psalm number 118 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "The Lord has chastened me sore, but He has not given me over to death." But then in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5, we are told, "Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Don't get mad when God punishes us, because God has a right to punish His children. And just like any earthly father has a right to punish his children. You know, when you look down and you see your children are out of control, there's something that just, if you are a responsible parent, a father I should say, there's something that just kind of clicks within your mind and you say to yourself, What happened? Where did I go wrong? Well, I got news for you. It's not always you that went wrong. Sometimes our kids are just taken over by the streets. But if you are a good parent, then you know where you have to go. You have to go to the Lord. You have to go back to seeking His counsel. You have to go back to seeking the goodness and the mercy of the Father's love. And a Father's love sometimes requires chastening, or for a better term for that would be whipping and rebuking. Most of all, fathers, remember in Psalms 127, verse number 5, the Bible says, "Happy is a man that has his quiver full of them," that is, children. Fathers must pay close attention to their children, for there are many enemies we face today. There are two places children should feel safe at or in. That is, number one, the church, and number two, their home. But I'll tell you something. Satan has, and he always has tried to wreck both of those places. He's even busier today. But when a father teaches God and bring his children up in the admonition of the Lord, he is giving them a good fighting chance to get ahead of what's out in the street. So a father must love his children. Number two, fathers must sometimes make sacrifices. These are lessons that we have learned from our Heavenly Father, church. Fathers need to be prepared sometime to make sacrifices on behalf of their families. Let me emphasize something. I'm not saying that you have to, as a father, have to do what our Heavenly Father did. He gave His only begotten Son. Look at the verse in 3:16 of John, if you will. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So God loved His earthly children so much that He gave His only begotten Son up for us. And as I always tell you, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't give my, if I only had one son, I would not give him up for the world and all the way it is today. But God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son up for us. When a father loves God, he will also try to teach his children to love God also. Teaching is one of the areas where fathers can offer sacrifice. Teaching means to impart knowledge, to talk to our children, and to explain things to them. Therefore, it may mean that Dad may have to give up and sacrifice some of his time in order to teach his children. Instead of hanging out with the boys, maybe he needs to hang in with the kids. So sometimes a father has to sacrifice. Jesus followed his Father's will. He came to earth here to save us from the penalty of sin, according to Romans chapter 6 and the verses number 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God does not require fathers to make a sacrifice as He made, but He does want fathers today to remember what Proverbs 22 and verse number 6 tells us. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, somebody may say, "Well, you were talking about teaching. Is there a difference between training and teaching?" Teaching is telling somebody something. Training, on the other hand, is showing someone how to do something. If I had a child and I told my child, "I'm going to teach you how to tie your shoe," I just tell him that. But a better example would be to train them by getting down with them and tying the shoe for them. That's training. Teaching says, "Tie your shoe." But if God had did that for us, He could have just simply said, "You all better get better down there or else I'm going to destroy you." But He did more than that. He went further than that. He went all the way to sending His only begotten Son down into this world to hang and bleed and die on yonder's cross. Fathers, You ought to take some lessons from God this morning. Take lessons from our Heavenly Father. And I know that many times fathers get a bad reputation. They get a bad rap, if you will. Because, I have to say this, because so many times the father is not there. Now, I'm not here to teach you a lesson on biology this morning, but I'll tell you this much. It took two of you to make a child. And the chromosomes from each and both parties had to come together. Now, when it comes to making a child, and as I say, I'm not giving a biology lesson, but everybody in here pretty much knows what you do to make a child. Now, if you did that and you got a child, you ought to own up to that child. That's being a good father. Fathers are also to provide. Some may not see it, but when our Heavenly Father sent His Son, He was providing and looking out for our well-being. Just like it says in John 3:16, He was providing salvation for His earthly children, not for His heavenly Son, for He didn't need salvation. He was providing great joy for all people by sending His Son to this earth, according to Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10. Fathers today must provide both spiritually and physical needs for their children. And somebody may say, well, why? Because we are the head, or we should be the head of our families and our homes. Again, we are also to correct our children, as in Proverbs 13 and verse number 24. He that spared the rod hates his son, but he that loves him will be prompt to punish him. We are to promptly offer correction when our children need it and not wait for society to do it for us. For if society does, the message may be taught without love and care. So that's why we have to chastise and discipline our children. Now, when you spare the rod, according to Proverbs there, he that spared the rod hates his son. But he that loves him will be prompt to punish him. Now, what are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm simply saying, if he's wrong, get with him. If he's right, then you tell him he's right and let him know that he's right. But if not, just get on him and get with him. You know, if we got with them more often, maybe we wouldn't be in a situation like we're in this day. Our Heavenly Father knows how to punish us without abusing us. So what makes you think that your discipline with love means that it's child abuse? We should do likewise. Let us remember what the text says in Ephesians chapter 6. And verse number 4, let us go over there. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word admonition simply means the counsel of the Lord. Bring them up with God in mind. Bring them up the way perhaps your parents brought you up. Bring them up so they'll know who the Lord is and what the Lord is all about. Our Heavenly Father is waiting upon us. As long as we are here, He is giving us opportunity after opportunity to get right with Him. But then the Scripture says, I like this part, fathers are not to provoke our children. That means you don't give them an opportunity to turn against you. That means you don't give them any reason to turn against you or cause them to. And I know some kids are going to be provoked no matter what you say to them, because they think they know everything. How many children have told you, I can't see why I should be doing that? How many children you know of that have told their parents, that's not the right way to treat me? But you see, you got to put them in their proper place. You got to put it in perspective. You are the child, and I'm the parent, or the adult, if you will. And when you put it in proper perspective, you're not abusing that child. You're training them up in the admonition of the Lord and nurturement of the Lord. You are letting them to know that God is the head of me and I want Him to be your head as well. When you think about it, church, God shows by example in John 3 and 16, once again, He showed us how the thing was supposed to go, how His love was, by sending His Son into this world because He loved us. Now, I don't know how many fathers love their children so much that they would give them up. But as I told you, I wouldn't. But when you think about it, God had to love us an awful lot that He gave His only begotten Son. And the way we act today, I'm sure God may be regretting that decision that He made. I don't have Bible to teach you that, but I just believe that He may be regretting it because of the way we act today. God gives us an example for us to love our children. The giving of His only begotten Son. Too many children today don't have any kind of relationship with their fathers. Why? I'll tell you why. Far too many fathers have forgotten how to be fathers. They practice many things, but sometimes being a father is not one of them. We buy and dress in clothes that supposedly make us feel younger. But I'll tell you, it doesn't work. We drive youthful cars to give the impression that we are young. I'll tell you, it still doesn't work. We go back and look at pictures of us in our younger days and we talk about how big my afro was and how I used to dress so fine and how I used to run down the women. And we talk about how bad we were back then. But I'll tell you something. That still doesn't work. That has nothing to do with today. You can't live in the yesterday and practice bringing up your children in today's time. You've got to live in today's time. Pull off the young folk clothes and get on your old folk clothes and tell them, I am the father and I'm going to train you up in the way you should be brought up. It's far and few men in between that doesn't count and consider their responsibilities to their children. How many men do you know when you get in a conversation with them? First of all, if you're in a conversation with them, they're probably talking about their cars. Not enough of them are talking about how to raise their children. Or if they're not talking about cars, they're talking about, oh, I know the basketball championship is coming on today. And I know a lot of you want to get out of here and I'm going to try to let you go. I don't even know what time it comes on, but. Oh, I got a signal there. It comes on at 7:00. So I can be up here for a while if I need be. I can stay up here for a little while if I need to stay up here. But I'm not going to keep you that long because I want you to take your fathers out to eat. You're welcome. I want you to know that most of us should be glad that it's not the same anymore, but I thank God this morning for letting us be here today. How many fathers do you know have said, I'm dressing so I can be a good example for my son? You know, you can't be friends with your children. How many times have I said that? You can have a good relationship with your children, but you can't be your child's best friend. I don't care how old your child is. Now, I got one son that, my oldest son, and most of you know him. Now, I just let the cat out of the bag. In 2 months, he'll be 50 years old. Now, I tell him that he's going to get his AARP card. In just a little while. I let him know that you're moving on. But you know, I got to say something. And I don't mind admitting this. But my son is a better father than I was. My son took a cue from probably someone else other than me. Now, and I'm not saying I was a bad father, but my son is a better father. And I'm proud of Him for being the kind of Father that He is. Every time I call and try to, or every time He calls me, He's at the baseball practice range with His son. And I may as well tell you, my young grandson is growing up so big and tall, he's over me now. And that's not saying a lot, I know. But nevertheless, my son is doing a great job, and I'm just so glad that he learned Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Once again, where the Bible said, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I'm so glad that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into this world to hang, bleed, and die. We've got, as fathers, we've got to be looking and stop looking and acting younger. We've got to become good fathers by keeping the Lord before us and presenting Him to our children. I want you to remember something today. Remember the lessons that's learned of our Heavenly Father. That's love, sacrifice, and providing for our children and for our family. Then you can truly have a happy Father's Day. I tell you, church, as I said, I'm not going to be long. As a matter of fact, I'm closing right about now. I'm coming down at least right about now. That don't mean I'm closing now. I got to get down here so I can be close to the audience. So I can tell you just a couple more things. When I think about being a father, I think about the awesome responsibilities that a father has. And sometimes we as fathers don't count that experience as being so heavy. It is heavily laden with responsibility. And I'll tell you what, when a father takes his responsibilities serious, he'll bring up better children. It just follows suit. You know, we put the pressure on mothers today. How many single parent households do you know? And usually the single parent is not with the father. It's a single parent with the mother. So what I want all of us as fathers to do is try your best to remember the lessons learned from our Heavenly Father. The lessons learned from our Heavenly Fathers, as I bring this to a quick close now. The lessons learned from our Heavenly Father will teach us something that we can carry throughout this life. He taught us on love. He taught us on sacrifice. And He taught us on providing for our families. And then, when we have learned those lessons, I got some more lessons I can tell you about that we can learn from our Heavenly Father. But we as fathers today, I'm not scolding you as fathers today. I'm simply trying to get a message across to you that we need to take lessons from our Heavenly Fathers. And for those young men in here that are not fathers but that plan to be fathers, you take a lesson from it too, so you'll already know how to be when you get to where you need to be. So with that, if you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you are a member but you walked astray, if you're not the kind of father that you want to be or not the kind of father that you ought to be, ask the Lord to help you and then ask the church to pray for you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.